people would say, sure, I want the power of God in my life. Well, why do you really want the power of God? What is it in your life that you want God's power to bring to you? Anybody? Peter.
Bring glory to Him.
Cool. Yeah, to bring glory to God in your life. Rather than the flesh. You don't want your life filled with Peter, man. You want your life filled with God. Amen. Gene. To see captives set free. Say again? To turn this country back to God. Amen. Amen. I mean, you know, God judges the nations. He not only judges individuals, He judges the nations. Covenant nations or not, man, we are accountable before God as a nation. If we would like to have a prosperous nation, a nation, you know, not beat down by our enemies and even, you know, God forbid, defeated or occupied, we need to be about, you know, we need the power of God to turn us around. Gene, I love what you said, to set the captives free. Free from what? What kind, has anybody here ever had anything in their life that you felt bound up by, chained by, or imprisoned by that you wanted the power of God to break off of you and set you free from? Anybody? I have. Amen. Isn't that a dark place? But Christ came to set us free. Christ came so that we could walk in freedom. He didn't come so that we could be bound up in chains. He didn't come so we could be defeated and discouraged. He came to set us free. And that power is real. It's not just something that the preacher gets up and talks about on Sunday. It's not just something we get all religious about and say, well, yeah, you know, there's power in the blood or power in this or that thing. That is a real power. And when I ask you, what do you want the power of God, how many people want the power of God in your life? I'm not just being rhetorical. I mean, I know you guys bring stuff in every Sunday. And every, I mean, day after day after week, I sit in my office with people who have heart-wrenching stories of things they're going through in their life. We need the power of God. We desperately need the power of God. We need it too much to play games and make ideological, you know, pie-in-the-sky fluffy statements about it. We need to get real with God and say, God, I need your power in my life. And I bury people. And gladly, it's nice when it's someone who's lived 85, 90 years. I mean, that's wonderful. But, you know, that's not always the case. And so we're talking about life and death issues. And I, you know, I would much rather do weddings than funerals, man. Praise God. I was thinking about power. You know, I mean, we're going through the book of Acts as a study on Sunday mornings. We're coming up to Acts chapter 2. And I was thinking about power. I was going through the internet. And, you know, it occurred to me. I don't know if this has ever occurred to you. Has it ever occurred to you how much a jellyfish looks like the blast of an atomic bomb? I don't know why. You know, I just get weird stuff that comes in my head sometimes. Call me crazy. I guess I am. We got a little, yeah. You ever notice that? Isn't that weird? Man, you know, they call it a mushroom cloud. They ought to call it a jellyfish cloud because it don't look like a mushroom. It looks like a jellyfish. I don't know. You ever think weird thoughts like that? Okay, well, you know. It's just me, I guess. That's right, man. You ever been stung by a jellyfish? There's power in a jellyfish, man. Thing will bring you to your knees. Larry, I think I am. I think you're absolutely right. But you know, I got to this past week, we were celebrating the 86th birthday of the father of a dear friend of ours, and I got to actually get on board a bomber. It was a B-17 bomber, not a B-29 like dropped the atomic bomb. But it was quite an experience. He flew in a B-17. He served during World War II, flew 30 missions over Germany. He was a radio operator and a gunner, and a machine gunner. Took out 3 German planes. Getting on board that plane, it just brought chills to me. You know, I mean, the wow. So none of this has anything to do with what I'm talking about, but I just thought I'd share that with you. It was a powerful experience for me, seeing the jellyfish, getting on board the bomber. I mean, they actually had the original machine guns on that thing. I imagine, you know, if we were flying over the water, I'd have to take out a few jellyfish with those machine guns. I don't know. They called us on their cell phone when they were over the Jersey Turnpike. I felt like saying, you know, I'll just drop the, you know. I haven't had pleasant experiences on the Jersey Turnpike. Anyway, 63 years ago, August 6, 1945, just after about 8 o'clock in the morning, a single B-29 bomber, the Enola Gay, appeared in the skies over Hiroshima. It was accompanied by two other planes, observation planes that had scientists and photographers on board that were just kind of journaling what was going to happen. Down on the ground, nobody really expected anything. They had had one air raid siren early, very early in the morning. Turned out to be nothing, so they went back to their jobs and their work. There were some kamikaze pilots in one area of town that were training. A lot of factory workers just starting up their day on the job. And to everybody, it was just one day like another day. They knew there was a war going on. They knew there was a risk and some danger out there. But, you know, they had demands on their life. They had a work to accomplish, and so they were going about their business, and they were really expecting nothing. And this plane appears in the sky, and people even saw it and really thought nothing of it. I mean, it was a single plane, a couple other non-military planes with it. There was about 10 soldiers on board the thing altogether, as far as crew members on board the plane. And at 8:15 in the morning, plus 17 seconds, from 31,000 feet, the plane dropped a single bomb. And the explosion that took place moments later, unleashed a power, an explosive force that had never before been seen in combat on this planet. After thousands of years of warfare, no one had ever encountered anything like this. They really weren't sure exactly how bad it would be. But that explosion unleashed a power that in a single blinding flash, in a moment of time like that, completely and utterly devastated and leveled an entire city. Bam! Blinding flash, and the city vaporized. It was gone. 70,000 people killed. And I should have got some pictures of it, but I'm sure you've seen pictures of Hiroshima after the bomb blast. I mean, there's like one or two buildings standing up, and the rest is rubble. It's dust and ashes. It's nothing. And in one single second, this power that was unleashed by this explosion of power, suddenly caused the world to step through a door from which it can never return. Suddenly. Life was just going on, and then suddenly a blinding flash, and the world had forever changed, and the face of warfare had forever changed. It would never be the same. One moment it was one way, and in a blinding flash, a single second later, it was something else. Now, 2,000 years ago, at 9 o'clock in the morning, on the 50th day of Passover, it was called the Day of Pentecost. It was actually a celebration. There were a bunch of people, thousands of people pouring into Jerusalem for the what they referred to as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of the Harvest. They were celebrating the fact that this, you know, the harvest had come in, ironically. And at 9 o'clock in the morning on that day, the Day of Pentecost, a sound was heard coming from heaven. How ironic. Things were just going on like any other normal day. They had a lot of feasts going on, and in Jerusalem, people were waking up. They were getting ready to have some kind of celebration. But it was, you know, pretty much a day like any other day had happened. But all of a sudden, in that moment, at 9 o'clock in the morning, an explosive power was unleashed from heaven that forever, suddenly, forever changed the face of spiritual warfare. One day it was one thing, and in that moment, suddenly there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind from heaven, and things were forever changed. And there was an explosion of spiritual power like there had never been on the face of this planet before. And just as the world in 1945 was suddenly ushered into the atomic age, at 9 o'clock in the morning on the day of Pentecost 2008 years ago, the world was suddenly ushered into a different age. The theologians call it the church age. But, that just sounds boring, man. You think of, you know, you say the church, you think of a stone building and, you know, people in ties and suits and all. I hate that expression. They ought to call it the dunamis age. Because dunamis is the Greek word for power. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. This is the power that Jesus promised that he would send from on high, that his people would be endued with. It literally means miraculous, supernatural, explosive power. It's the same word we get our word dynamite from. And at 9 o'clock in the morning on the day of Pentecost, the world was completely changed because a power had invaded it in a way that it had never come on the face of this planet before. And that began the, what I like to call, the dunamis age, the power age. Ever since then, God has given his people power. That's what we're supposed to be about. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you get the what? The power. He said, I'm not going to send you out there in the power of your flesh. John D'Souza has nothing to offer you. I mean, you might like me. I'm an all right guy. You know, I have my good days and bad days. But I don't have anything to offer you out of my flesh. The only thing I can offer you is what God has given me. And hopefully that is a life-giving, powerful, anointed ministry from God. That comes from that power that was unleashed that day. The church has nothing to offer the world. You know, we get all upset when we see the world doing weird, crazy, bizarre stuff. You know, they ought to come to our church. Well, you know, we get all upset and say, you know, why are they acting like that? What are they being so stupid for? But, you know, we have nothing to offer them except what we have received from God. And without that power, we are useless. We are helpless. We are impotent. Without that power, we can do nothing. But in Christ, with His Holy Spirit, we can do all things. We can do unimaginable things. You, raise your hand, say me. You and I can do things beyond our imagination by the power that resides inside of us.